Blog Talk Radio.
Let's off in this year. Not the intro I had planned. This is the Sunday show. I'm here with Jack Johnson. It will be Johnson and myself, Gwen Berry, and tonight's episode we're going to call, what are we going to call a gentleman? What did he say? He said, basically, the Lord was not pleased. We're, of course, referring to the takeover out in Oregon. And I just wanted to say that I follow a guy on Twitter. His name is Kasim Rashid Esquire. Pretty intelligent fellow. And he tweeted the whole thing in a nutshell. He said, if 150 armed Muslims took over a chicken coop, there'd be a worldwide terror alert. But 150 armed white folks seize a federal building and nothing's been done. And I got a quote further here. Our own Claire Booth Luce of Roundtree 7 on the left side, P.E. Nolan said, a window into a microcosm that shows every single thing wrong with the macro, white supremacy, propaganda, colonialism, and general bad behavior. Same shit that's fueling Donald Trump, a media that functions as a mouthpiece for the ruling class that makes no damn sense at all unless you're a dominionist that makes money off of fossil fuels and weapons.
Good point in the government that's too spineless to do anything about it.
Well, it's really quite true. Now, to get to know the situation, Amon Bundy, geez, does he know he's named after an Egyptian god? Have you seen that meme out there? There's a picture of all these militiamen grouped together, and it's called the Y'all Qaeda.
Oh, God.
I loved it.
Are these guys going for comedic influence, or what's going on here?
Comedic influence. Now, whether they were going for it or not, it's another issue.
God.
This is basically what Mr. Bundy's video. Everybody has their own video these days. This video about this, but I wanted to play the part that I put to, and the guy uses an Apple computer, so I was like, geez, man, these are the people you feel will have an HP, you know? You can yell at me like, but he, this was basically, I'm taking a quote out of his, to explain what we got going on with our title here, just listening to Mr. Bundy.
Next morning, I felt this urge again, this desire to begin to write. I knew I was supposed to write something. And so, but my emotion about the Hammonds after I saw what was happening and found that they were, what was happening to them was the same thing that happened to us. So my emotions were clouding my thoughts, and I was trying to get my thoughts straight so I could write. And I got on my knees and I asked the Lord and said, Lord, if you want me to write something, then please help me clear my mind and show me what I should write. And that's what happened. In a short period of time, my mind was clear and I was able to write. And I wrote that letter to individuals and to government officials. And that was the first one. During that letter, I began to understand how the Lord felt about the Hammonds. I began to understand about how the Lord felt about Harney County and about this country. And I clearly understood that the Lord was not pleased with what was happening to the Hammonds.
Okay, gentlemen, you got to explain to me how that's not religious fanaticism and jihadi speak. You've got to explain to me, because that's exactly what it is.
Glenn, that's exactly what it is.
It's exactly what it is. And there hasn't even been a sheriff, let alone FBI, out to check the place out since they took it over.
Of course not. They're all whites and they're not Muslims. That's the reason, you know.
Well, then they're not black. They're not
or
black.
Or black.
Right,
yeah,
or black.
Right.
Right, right. No, that's true, too.
If American, there would be an army of FBI out there. You can bet your bottom dollar on
Very
that.
Very good point.
And they're the ones who actually should hold the first piece of paperwork on it. Of course, they didn't live their lives like that.
Right. Well, I'd point out, for those of us who can remember this far back, that it was Ronald Reagan who signed in the most restrictive gun control laws because the Black Panthers in Oakland said,
right,
keep the cops out, we will police our own. You know, you had an open and carry law, right? You could have a loaded gun walking around with it, provided it was, you know, open and exposed. Well, they were walking around with rifles, shotguns, guns on their hips, but you know, obviously we can't have these black folks in Oakland running around controlling the city, walking the streets with guns. And that's when our sainted Ronnie Reagan put into law the most restrictive gun laws of any state in the union when he was governor of California.
Yeah.
Here's another clip that is a commentary that was played on RT, and some people agree with it, other people do not, but the numbers don't lie, and there is a huge decline in white middle-aged men in this country. It's almost like they're self-destructing. But let me play this. I think it's really valid. It's not very long.
Well, to talk more about the situation, we're joined now by a political analyst, Caleb Mopin from the United States. Thanks very much for coming on to RT this evening. Look, the police response so far to the situation has been pretty low-key, hasn't it? I mean, granted, it's not a hostage situation, but are you surprised by the response?
Well, there is a pattern in U.S. history of tolerance for right-wing demonstrations in ways that other demonstrations and protests would never be tolerated. And that's absolutely the case. You can go back to 1979, where the FBI coordinated with the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis to assassinate some left-wing activists. You know, there is much more of a tolerance for these kind of demonstrations coming from the political right than there are for other protests. That's very apparent.
What should their response be, though? Because presumably, defending the police for the moment, they're faced with a heavily armed militia or group of men, 150 or so, with weapons. Previously, there's been an incident similar to this where it was defused by not doing anything.
Well, it's very apparent. If these men were African-American or Muslim, this would be called terrorism, and everyone there would be dead. And that's pretty apparent to anyone who's familiar with U.S. society. However, I think the issue here is the fact that these ranchers have kind of become symbolic of the small middle class of property owners in the U.S. that has been deprived in the economic crisis. And I think that they have a wide level of support among especially their community. We can see that 300 people came out to support the Hammond brothers recently, and you know that they're kind of representative of a strata in U.S. society that is in decline in this economic crisis. Now we know that on the scene are people from the Bundy family, and the world was horrified by the racism that Clive and Bundy just unleashed and just revealed to the world, just utter contempt for African Americans and hate. So the situation is really representative of a number of trends unfolding in U.S. society, some of which are somewhat contradictory.
Why do you think they felt the need to take up arms in this situation? I mean, you touched on a number of points there, and they obviously have sympathizers too across the country, but why not settle this through the courts?
Well, there does seem to be more of a tolerance for right-wing protests, and also there does seem to be a level of support for what they're doing. Just like the Bundy Ranch immediately got publicity, this incident is also immediately getting publicity, and there seems to be a network of people in the United States who do share their views, people with libertarian perspectives, You can talk about, you know, the Montana Freeman. You can talk about the Sovereign Citizens Movement. Now we hear about the Oath Keepers. That this political perspective that the government, the federal government of the United States, is overreaching, and that there needs to be some kind of armed uprising in order to restore the rights of property owners. This is a common view among the declining middle class of the United States. It's very widespread. Many people in the U.S. have been taught all their lives that the greatest evil is communism, and so their reaction to the economic crisis is somehow believing that the U.S. is too socialist or too communist, and wanting to restore property rights, having contempt for the federal government. This is an ideological belief that really kind of blossomed in the 1990s as NAFTA was just destroying the Midwestern United States, and it's given rise to extremist movements. You can talk about what's happened with Timothy McVeigh, who blew up the federal building. I mean, there is an extremist right-wing grouping that does hail property rights and fights to defend property rights as its rallying cry. And this is an expression of it. It has widespread support. And what's taking place in Oregon is really an example of how the U.S. is kind of destabilizing. Things like this are occurring much more frequently than they used to. There is much more contempt for the U.S. government from both the left and the right. And there's much more belief in the kind of things that U.S. government officials dismiss as conspiracy theories. So U.S. society is gradually destabilizing, and what's taking place in Oregon is kind of an example of that.
Okay, we have to leave it there, but thanks very much for your thoughts. That was Caleb Mopin, a political analyst.
Guys, it's like this is nothing that's going to calm down right away, and it's only a symptom.
No. Well, it's been going on for a long time, especially since Obama was elected first. You know, the right wing is, there's a record number of militias out there right now. They've always been below the surface, but they're getting bolder and more numerous nowadays. And it's a symptomatic of how crazy people are these days. Low information voters are jumping to crazy conclusions, and they're grabbing guns to make up to supposedly protect their rights. Give me a break. It's insane, right. You know. I saw that crazy Laura Ingraham on TV this morning. I was flipping channels, and I happened to tune into Fox News Sunday, and she was talking about overreach. This guy in the clip just referred to overreach. I don't know where they're getting this overreach stuff. What did Bush do during his time in office? That guy was constantly overreaching both domestically and foreign policy. Look at the Patriot Act. What a big overreach that was. And nobody made nobody except us raised any hell about that. You know, it's just crazy what these guys, how they're misreading everything, and they're trying to make it frame according to what their beliefs are, which are completely errant.
But, you know, it does underline the fact that what Bernie Sanders is saying has absolute honesty, because he's saying that, you know, what we know is the truth, that 1% controls it. They've divested the whole country of its manufacturing community. They've invested in poison of all kinds, whether it's fuel or food. They're polluting and ruining the planet doing so. And a majority of the people on a global level who are responsible for this at the base core are Wall Streeters. These are
people
who have their own seats, you know?
Yeah. And now we've been on this mad, insane deregulation binge for the past 35 years, and it's just not right. They don't want the government having any say whatsoever in business whatsoever. They don't want any. They want all protections lifted that are destroyed. They want to have free rein to do whatever they damn well please, and they've got a lot of dummies out there going along with them and saying it's a matter of freedom. No, it's not a matter of freedom. It's a matter of responsibility.
It is.
Well stated.
And, you know, the thing is, too, Jack, I got to say this. If government divested itself of the communities in this country and its fiscal running of America and allowed us all to catch as catch can as these range warriors out here are saying, the country would dissolve into fiefdoms and warlord territories, much like what Al-Qaeda represents throughout a lot of the Middle East right now. That's exactly what would happen, because that's what's happened when we went in and divested Iraq of all of its authority.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, it, that broken down army of Saddam that is now the core of ISIL, Daesh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The wonderful news that their newfound fundraising activities were to be taking people as they go along, as they do anyways, but before they cut their heads off, they're gonna sell their organs for capital.
Yeah. For money. Yeah, that, it's unbelievable.
That's incredible.
That is the grossest amount of exploitation anybody could ever conjure up. It is just incredible. And Donald Trump and his hordes are fueling this insanity. And one of Donald Trump's recent monologues was featured in a Islamic extremist video. I haven't seen it yet, but I read about it.
Well,
and it figures, you know.
I don't click on those darknet sites.
I don't either.
When CNN pulls it out and posts it, I'll watch it. But even if it is filtered. But I won't click on one of those dark because they collect cookies I don't want them having. Okay?
Right.
They can be pretty, you got to be careful when you're fooling around down there. You need friends over on the anonymous side to do that. You really do.
Yeah.
But
right.
These guys are, what they're doing out there is, it's not going to be another Waco or Ruby Ridge. It's going to be an empowerment of what they've done as white guys.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's going to, well, and let's face it here. If these are, as we said, we've talked about this group before, they're not really well educated. The really well educated ones are just manipulators of the groups,
right?
Like a Ted Cruz,
right.
What's going on here is that they're basically they're getting ready to fund. I just went back to the board and I see we have a caller. I'm sorry. This is going to blow up politically more. And just as Obama is getting ready to sign his own piece of legislation and to put more.
Oh, that's
overreach. Executive order of gun control.
That's overreach.
Yeah, because these are all armed people. But most of the people standing out there with their six shooters on are the ones who will roll to the ground and get behind a rock and stay there if anything happens to break out.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they squat and pee in the corner and they put out their little girl panties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not really, you know, the best of the biker
crowd.
They're
not men. They're not men at all.
No.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say
they got big
that.
Mouths and that's it.
I'm not going to say that. We have a caller from the 407 area code system. I don't know if they're calling to listen, but I'm going to open the microphone. Ah, they hung up. Okay.
What's been a troll, maybe, huh?
Well, it could be, especially when you see how I posted us. But there's all of this going on, and then you get this analyst who's saying, well, the numbers are true. It's true. A lot of, and this counts for you two gentlemen. You are middle aged, of course, maybe upper or lower bracket. I don't know what to say, but you know, in age wise, but you're middle and upper middle class. You've gone through.
We're a shrinking breed.
Yeah, and these are the people who are turning to alcohol, they're turning to violence, they're turning to drug addiction, and they're self-destructing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leftovers are the families that are broken by it and the communities that are falling apart because of it. And there's the greater mass, which represents a multicultural group of people who are out there doing service jobs and who are taking the jobs in tech and IT and all of the training that I guess wasn't, you know, anything anybody thought of doing when they lost their job. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I know I created my own job, and I fly by my pants from week to week.
Sure.
It's just become life. but gosh, guys, I mean, I don't want to see, you know, all the white guys in the country self-imploding like this. I want to see them, and I know plenty who aren't, like yourselves, and
right.
a lot of
Well, see, that's a little bit of the distortion that we see from the mainstream media. They have led people to believe that, oh, this is an epidemic and it's all over the place. It is a phenomenon that is occurring on a greater than usual basis, and it is kind of scary in that regard, but it's not universal by any stretch of the imagination, are the proof of that.
Well, it's not complete, but the numbers keep rising in that.
Right,
that
and that's scary. That's something to be looked out for.
These are the same people that a Democrat Trump plays to, but of course, in the national elections, he hasn't got a hope in hell. You know, I mean, really.
Right.
I really don't think he has a hope in hell, unless, of course, you know, I can't see even a bombing. You know, changing that because he would only, if you look and see what's going on, like Iran and Saudi Arabia today, have you guys seen
good,
that?
Good point. Yes, I did. Well, as we've said, what's going on in the Middle East is a continuation and expanding of a religious civil war between the Shiites, which
and
is Iran, and the Sunnis, which is Saudi Arabia.
And the Wahhabists are in there in the mix too, and those people are really nuts.
It's Sharia law, is what it is.
Right.
Right.
And you know, it's difficult to understand. You know, this God thing's got to stop, gentlemen. It really.
Yeah. Well, it's such a travesty on what really what it's really all about. It's just a small group of very crazy people are carrying the big banner as if they're speaking for everybody, and it's just not right.
Right, exactly right. And the thing is, let me interject here, we were talking about kind of the catch-22 of all this. This is now Clyde Bundy and those that have taken over the federal building and a continuation of what came from the ranch issue. You're going to have 150 white guys, and
no,
here's Obama's...
Actually, that was very spurious information. There's only about 12 or 15 of them out there. And it's a wildlife refuge. And if you've ever driven up onto one of those, you know it's like a ranch house museum thing.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I did see a picture of that, and I wasn't quite comprehending. But that's where they could say that they could bunk them out and stuff, come to our cause. Well, let's take the dozen. If Obama goes in like... Clinton did with Ruby Ridge.
Yeah.
I want to go more Ruby Ridge. And it's going to be, look, with many of those good old boy Southerners, the Tea Party, the religious fundamentalists that have permeated my Republican Party, which all the segments that I warned Jack Kemp back in 2005 of embracing into the Republican Party, giving them validity. Like I said, the John Birch Society, all this stuff, if he goes in and does something about it, it's that black president's killing these white men.
That
socialist is taking away our rights.
Exactly. He's going to make an executive order to take away our guns. He ordered the troops to kill these white, good, God-fearing men.
Yep.
That's what's
and
going to be.
And, of course, Fox News is fanning that flame, that nonsense, that argument, which is a non-argument as far as I'm concerned. It's completely ridiculous. But they're fanning that flame, and that is a very dangerous situation. That company is so irresponsible. That's a whole other issue. But they are so irresponsible, and they are destroying this country.
Yeah,
I really think what's destroying this country is the intellectual laziness of Americans.
That is an understatement, no doubt. No doubt.
Right.
Back and take it, you know, really, you know what I would say.
too lazy to discover the facts, to do the research necessary, to really find out what's really going on and who's lying and who isn't.
And look, ABC actually posted it as a protest at a wildlife refuge. CNN had an analyst on today that claimed, well, you know, there's no reason to go in and grab these people. They're not going to hurt anybody because they're white people. Now, or if it was black men, you know what the world record is in race for serial killers, people?
Of course.
Overwhelmingly white and conservative white.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly.
The whole thing. Well, our 407 caller is back on, and I'm going to
welcome. Hello.
I don't know if you're calling 407-749. Your mic is open. Are you calling to comment or?
Oh yeah. Hello. Yeah, I got disconnected there. I don't know what happened, but
okay. Well, we're glad you joined us today.
I'm glad you called back. You know, we're trying to be fair. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just wondered, do you think, I mean, right now we have 4.1 million federal employees. Do you think the federal government, do we need more of them? Or do we need to appropriate them better? Or, you know, how many do we need?
Say.
I mean, just the salary, because they're way, you know, most of the people in the inner cities and it's working people aren't making the money these people are making. They average over $60,000 each with their salary. They're almost $100,000 a year. They cost us $400 billion.
What does this have to do with the topic of going on out at Bundy Ridge and the federal building? This is what the topic is.
Well, since we got too much federal government. I mean, those should be states' rights. They should be states' rights issues, and the state should handle that. You know,
So if it's federal land, it's going to become state rights.
Well, that's another thing.
That's
we have too much federal land. I mean, and they had to think there. So you think that federal government should own
federal land? There's reasons for federal land. This was all put into play back in the days of Teddy Roosevelt, the Republican president of the time. The federal lands are what they are, and the state are the others. You go on to federal lands, you fall under federal law. That's the law of the land. That is it. That is the we are a nation of laws, and it has come too much. The problem is what has been the traditional working middle class job have all been sent overseas. And the working middle class has now fallen down below 50%. We are now in a minority of the working middle class. It is the economic crisis. Let me give you an example.
I agree with that. We need to get rid of that capital. Okay.
Let's say again. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say that again.
We need to get rid of NAFTA, CAFTA, and the TPPA and start putting tariffs on the other countries. I mean, we've got a corporate globalists are taking over, man. I agree with that.
This is a true statement. Matter of fact, if you've listened to us before, we are very much out of the TPP legislation that's about ready to be approved by the majority Republican Congress and Senate.
Right.
It's the biggest giveaway in history, and we can't allow it to pass.
There ain't no difference between Democrats and Republicans. I agree with that. I mean, Obama's for it, too. They're for each other. Democrats in D.C., it's about the corporation. It's a district of corruption, and it's for the corporations. The district of the corporations and the district of corruption. That's who we're fighting. It's D.C., and it's the enemy.
And we are in agreement on that statement. Absolutely. We need to have a change mindset of bringing back jobs. Problem is the area that I'm from is on the eastern shore of Maryland. It's the peninsula that separates Chesapeake Bay from the ocean, contains the state of Delaware, Virginia, and then Maryland. They have always marketed that territory as bring your company here, it's got cheap labor rates. Well, if you really want cheap labor rates, you know, That's then they sent that to China, south of the China, where there are no environmental laws, there are no worker rights laws. The working conditions of many is basically slave labor, sweatshop kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Well,
it's typical of the anti-regulatory crowd, and they don't want any regulation whatsoever. And unfortunately, you do need a buffer to protect yourself against the excesses of corporate capitalism, and that happens to be, at this point in time, the federal government. And that is why
no,
we
I think the state
government,
can do
active.
It. The federal government is not doing it. They're giving us the TPA and everything else. You guys are in the wrong direction thinking the federal government is the savior. The federal government is the problem. They're not the savior.
Oh, I didn't say they were the savior. They've been
corrupted. No, they're not.
They've been
corrupted. The
corruption.
They've been corrupted.
We need
the district of corporations.
Sure. We need them to be restored to the high levels that they attained during the New Deal and during the Eisenhower administration when they actually
did a service.
Well,
let's go all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt broke up monopolies because it was capitalism, pure capitalism by its own.
We got the ultimate monopoly in the Federal Reserve System. I mean, all that you're talking about, the Federal Reserve, all they did was implement
the
Federal
Reserve. Wait a minute. The Federal Reserve is a separate company. Not governmental.
Yeah, it's not governmental.
It was created by the government, and we need free market economics again. If you're back in the Federal Reserve, you're on the opposite end, man. Because those guys, the bankers are the problem. If you support the Federal Reserve, you are the problem.
The Federal Reserve is a private company, sir.
Yeah,
it's not part of the government.
No,
it's part of the government. If you don't think Bernanke and Yellen and all the rest of them aren't part and have influence over our government, you're crazy.
They have way too much, sir.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Yes, they do have way too much. That's why they need to be ended immediately.
But
now
they're not the federal
government.
They're not the federal government. They happen to be.
They are the part that rules our federal government. Our federal government's the problem. And the federal reserve is the problem.
I disagree totally.
Our Congress.
Well, we're going to have this argument. We had this argument back in the Civil War.
Let our host talk.
Do the facts,
man. Let the host talk.
No, but it's the Congress that he's talking about, the federal government. And I agree with him there. They're all wrong.
Right.
They're all bought out.
They're all messed up.
His use of the Federal Reserve.
The Republicans and Democrats are the same.
It's true. It doesn't matter whether you're on the blue side or the red side. They're all corporate owned.
Beautiful.
All corporate owned.
They are corporate owned. I'll give you that one.
Exactly. They're corporate owned, and the corporations are owned by the Federal Reserve. And that's the problem. D.C., the district of corruption, is the problem. D.C. is the problem.
It's not the answer. We have a noun problem here. The Federal Reserve is not part of the government. The Federal Reserve is a private for-profit company that controls and monitors the money of releasing, printing more drugs. It is not part of the government. So when you see
it is connected to the government. It was created by the government.
It
would be taken down by the government if the government had the guts to do it.
No, it wasn't.
See, you guys fall right into their trap. It was created by the government and it can be taken down by the government.
Sir.
There shouldn't be centralized banking, and there's a lot of fights going on to decentralize banking.
No, but it was created by the banks. It was created by the banks.
And the government. The government created it.
The government allowed
back during the New Deal days in the Progressive Era.
The government allowed them to create it as a help.
The 1913 Federal Reserve Act. Go read it. You'll understand.
That was done when Woodrow Wilson.
And it can be redone. And we can audit the Fed and we can allow free market banking again.
Free market banking works how?
Free market banking means, hey, they're going to it now in Colorado. There's nullification. Nullification is a good thing. Colorado nullified the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act and said, our country, we're letting our people out of jail for marijuana. We're going to grow marijuana. And now they're actually having their credit unions based on marijuana. We don't need the Federal Reserve, and we don't need D.C. We're going to trade amongst ourselves.
See, I don't
and
think you'll find
it.
Much argument with us there. But we, our argument
okay,
is
that
we don't believe
that's
that
what we're
it's,
fighting
it's
for.
Part
we're
of the
fighting
government.
For states' rights. D.C. is the problem. It's the district of corruption. Until you understand it's the district of corruption, Republicans and Democrats are the same. They're all corrupt.
Yeah, we're great.
Many of them are. That's why we're solidly for Bernie Sanders.
99% of them are. There's maybe one or two.
That's why we're for solidly for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
None of them are going to get there. You guys are way out, man. But
no, we're not way out at all.
Decentralized power. Decentralized power, states' rights.
Well, you can't have that, sir. I'm sorry. In this country,
we are having it.
We
are having it in Colorado. We're having it in Washington.
We can't have it.
We
can't have it.
We are having it.
It's lofty idealism, but it's not going to work.
No, we have it. We are standing up to the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. We are going to stand up to the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. There are people moving on in the right direction. We are standing up
where
for
are
the
they?
Right
I don't see
to
them
open
in
carry.
I don't see them anywhere.
Okay.
I see them
in the states. In the states. This is the United States of America, and we're
that's
fighting
right.
for states' rights, and states' rights is on its way
well,
in,
been,
man.
That's been going
you
on since the
states
early
rights.
Days of the Republic,
sir. You're
going
to see a lot more nullifications.
Hey,
go to the 10th Amendment Center.
Hey, Gwen.
Go to places.
Gwen.
I'm done with this conversation. Goodbye.
You guys don't realize the states' rights are coming in, and marijuana is coming in. The liberty of the people is coming in, and we're going to stand up to the
very good, sir. Thank you for your comments.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's get back on topic now.
Yeah, let's get back on topic. We wasted enough time on that stuff.
Wait a minute, guys. He hung up on us.
Good.
But what I wanted to ask him was he in favor? I like to keep the conversation going. Don't you know that gets us more hit points?
Yeah, but you know, he never recognized the fact that the Federal Reserve is not part of government.
Call in, are you kidding me?
I mean, yes, it was great for him to expose himself. I like that, right? You know,
no,
remember, we had a states' rights versus federal rights. It was called the Civil War. They wanted to keep slavery.
Prior
they
to that, even. Prior to that, even.
Yes.
Gentlemen, the point is, what was his idea of nationalism? Was it the loose confederacy of states with, like, like an EU? Well, you know, I'd sit down and listen to what they were saying. I mean, obviously, we're at a real crisis. It's a global crisis. We're at a real crisis. The federal government does what for you, Jack? What does the federal government insure for you anymore? Does
I'll tell you, hey Gwen.
Well,
it insures a good transportation system in conjunction with private
industry. A national transportation system.
What's that?
National, from state
national
to state,
defense, when
intercommerce
properly,
trade.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the state says, hey, I have a fishing industry here. I don't want, or I'm a farming industry here of, say, South Carolina. But,
uh-huh.
you know, boy, we can't compete with those California growers because they can irrigate their fields by, you know, flooding them and stuff, and they're producing them cheaper. Again, the Eastern Shore of Maryland used to produce tomatoes, cantaloupes, or watermelon, all the truck crops. And we had canneries there. But they could not compete with the volume and the way that was being produced in California. Henceforth, all that stopped.
Well, okay. And so what
it
else?
It regulates interstate commerce, and it should.
Right. But what I'm saying is and here's where the national aspect comes in, is, you know, Maryland could not say, well, okay, we grow crops and we can't compete because California can grow them more efficiently, better, and truck them via our intercommerce trade trucks, railroads, airlines. So, but
mm-hmm.
we're not going to allow any California produce to come into our state. That could be a states' right conflict right there. The
mm-hmm.
national aspect is saying, no, they can grow it and they can ship it anywhere in this country. Oranges,
okay,
California,
well, Jack,
Florida.
Jack, you were going down a list. You were going down a list. What nationalism does do for us? I heard the travel, the commerce. What else is nationalism doing for us?
Well, it provides a system of civil rights. It provides a legal system of civil rights and an appeal that can be carried to the highest level for uniformity throughout the country so that nobody is discriminated against. That's all idealism, but a lot of it is actual fact, and it's actual in practice. And it's there's many, many, many things that you need the federal government for. We've only begun to scratch the surface.
I can give you Johnson, who signed in the Civil Rights Act.
To digress to competitive issues here, my point is that a lot of people in this country have lost hope.
Agree. But it's not the national government's problem.
They're blaming the wrong boogeyman. They should be blaming corporate America and the libertarian aspect that are screwing everything up.
Of course they are. But what does nationalism offer us that will amend this, that will find the solution to this?
Well, let's not say nationalism. Nationalism carries with it some very negative overtones that we don't want to get into. Nationalism on the foreign level provides the type of activities that we engaged in Iraq and throughout the Middle East. We don't want to go there. That's not good. That is not a good situation.
I'm asking you what makes America America for everybody living in these collected states? Mm-hmm. What holds us together? What is the
We all live by our national laws of the land.
Right. Exactly.
Again, all right, we said gay marriages cannot be discriminated against. You have the right to get married. But if it'd been up to Kentucky we're not going to do that. Here's another thing, though, that the national government does. Right now, Texas and the Midwest is all being flooded and destroyed by rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other states pull together.
Relief effort.
And help them out. That is a Christian thing. That's kind of Christian mentality.
Katrina hitting
New Orleans. They took the refugees, those that were washed out, were given, were transferred to other states of their choice to get out of that devastation.
Yeah. And it's a collective
support of a disaster happens here. Maine will help out through our financing and taxes and stuff to put Louisiana back on the map.
So it's assured. It is assured. That's the unification of this country. It's assured security for all of its citizens and individuals,
right,
no matter where they live. They have certain unalienable rights.
Exactly.
That was what I was looking for, because so many people have lost all hope of that. It's just
right.
Right.
And
right.
Then
I understand. Trust me.
He was eating munchies while he was talking to him.
Well, regardless of that, Gwen, he's definitely typical. He's typical of those that hate government, want no government or little government, want only states to regulate everything, and that is impractical in today's world. It's always been impractical, and that's why the federal government has grown. What I have a problem with the federal government on is that it is an unregulated bureaucracy of its own. It needs to be run better and more efficiently, but I am not opposed in principle to the federal government the way these guys are.
Neither am I. But for the sake of argument, because if we don't talk to one another, we're shit out of luck. And that's where we are. So when a guy like this comes on, people like to hear the bullshit going back and forth. But the truth is that people learn something if they hear good answers and good questions.
Yes.
This guy posed some good questions for the moment. Because even though, he's got what I would say is a very limited view of what, country does and the running of the state and the government, he still has every right to be outraged.
Well, of course.
That he can't.
And we didn't shut him up. We didn't turn his mic off. We didn't hang up on him.
No.
He hung up on us.
No, he did. But the thing
is. So there you go.
The thing is, though, can we answer his questions and get him this, or not get him, but give him the opportunity to hear if he'll listen. Of course, he wasn't about to. But
that was proposed, right?
Yeah.
You know, putting back the other side of the coin, and saying, well, listen, this is what your nation ensures for you. And if you ask the guy, I bet he had family, you know, their war veteran is in his family. Maybe his dad or his grandfather was on the GI Bill after World War II and it enabled.
Yeah, we never even brought that up.
You know,
my father got educated on the GI Bill.
A lot of people did.
It
transformed the country in a good way.
Yes,
it educated your working middle class in a mass.
That and labor unions created this big middle class that we used to have.
Yeah, labor unions for sure. And you see, when you get a guy like this on, and the other side of the ticket too is we need some folks to call in who are just, you know, who are really know their own rhetoric really well on the ultimate left side that are a little crazed too, because.
You got to listen.
You got to sit down and listen.
Well, sure, exactly.
And we provide that. If we provide that template, you know, maybe it gets catchy. I mean,
That's absolutely right. It was all I wanted to do was he was blaming the Federal Reserve as the federal government.
Yeah, he did that all wrong. Somebody fed him the wrong information, and he's running with it, and you shouldn't be.
That's Western Prairie dumb shit, you know?
It is, exactly. And, you know, I am no fan of the Federal Reserve, but I want to talk in truth about things. I don't want to just make up stuff or spread bullshit,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, we're not going to be Rush Limbaugh saying, oh, yeah, you're right. No. You're going to talk and identify things accurately.
Basically, you know, some of the folks who are listening in who have an idea the same as his, if they listen to the conversation fully, they might go, I didn't know that. I had absolutely no idea that the Federal Reserve, I'm glad you said that,
because it gave us the opportunity to say the Federal Reserve is a private company with board members and every aspect of a corporation. It's not the federal government.
All they have to do is not be intellectually lazy, and they have to get on their computer and Google Federal Reserve Board and look at it and study what it is and what it does and how it came into being and how it is not government owned and run and all that stuff. They need to understand this.
Yeah.
This guy is running with the wrong board. He's got it all wrong.
Yeah, if you know how many people out there print pamphlets that, you know, absolutely lie about things so that people can listen to them.
Especially the emails that go around, unbelievable. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It's out there, and folks really have to use their instincts and intuition because you've got to
go with more than one source. You've got to be kind of a detective, and we've said
that's
this before.
Key.
And it's very. This is proof positive of why people have to not be intellectually lazy, and they have to do their due diligence and find out what in the hell is really going on, not just accept Fox News' explanation.
Jack, wouldn't you agree? This is the same guy that's seeing some sanity in his mind. He's seeing some sanity in the things that Donald Trump is saying.
Oh, sure, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's a Trump fan. You bet. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I could be wrong, but it seems like he'd be much the same, or maybe even further to the right. You know, who knows?
Well, I mean, I like the fact what he brought up about, you know, again, it was the state right aspect of saying we are going to decriminalize marijuana. Well, matter of fact, it's been nationally, quote unquote, nationally, from the administrations on down, currently saying. They're going to treat marijuana. Do not go after the marijuana. Go out, you know, look at it as being decriminalized. Delaware, state of Delaware, it went into effect December the 18th when I was home, that marijuana was decriminalized.
It's been decriminalized here in Florida, too.
I was going to say, you know, many states are decriminalizing, and the national aspects are also saying, let's view it as being decriminalized. Do not go after these pot smokers, those that are making their economy, like Colorado, like Washington State, which these are very good points you brought up, and I'm glad he did.
Right.
Okay. But there still has to be a national oversight of it.
Absolutely. Without question.
Here's an example. If you didn't have a national oversight of it and being able to have a national control over it, you're going to have like Mexico, which is all run by drug lords and cartels
exactly.
in individual areas.
And regarding the corruption
state,
in Washington, we all know that's
cartel,
true.
Right.
It is corrupt as hell. And the reason it's corrupt is because there's too much big money influencing politics. The Citizens United is an absolute abomination, and the conservative dominated Supreme Court is what brought it on. So this guy can argue conservative arguments all he wants, but he's really pissing in his own wind. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Honest to God. I mean, it's insane. And, yes, I don't like the corruption in Washington, but I know that it exists, and I know why it exists, not just because
exactly.
the federal government's bad and it's there and it should be states' rights. States' rights is not going to cure the corruption in Washington. I'm sorry,
no,
pal.
If anything, I'll give you an example. In Montana, where they have a very sparse population, they can buy
yeah.
the congressman, D1 congressman, and their two senators for like
mm-hmm.
$30,000 of contribution influence. That's
right.
how cheap the state of Montana can be bought through private corporation influence.
Right, exactly. And don't think the Koch brothers don't know that and haven't exerted their influence already.
That's where John Birch is on.
A lot of the state of Montana is under federal authority ultimately because it's reservation land. You know,
right, which was all, you know, back in the days of Teddy Roosevelt, who passed and actually made a lot of federal
mm-hmm.
lands across the country.
Available for protection,
I think,
right?
But
I'm
right,
talking so.
About reservations. These belong to American Indian tribes.
Oh, and that was thought up long before Teddy Roosevelt, although
yeah.
since then
yes,
it's been
absolutely.
In effect, too.
Yeah,
well,
that was late 1800s, sure.
Right, right.
But we don't. The federal government has not adhered to much of it, which really.
Oh, no, they. You know, we like to think of ourselves as so lily white and pure and good examples for the world. I'm sorry. If you really want to be honest, you've got to look at what we've done to the American Indian over the years. It has
trail
been a disgrace.
Tears.
It's been okay. genocide. It's been murder. It's been just as bad as Hitler, if not worse.
I wanted to mention today, because I know that Jack is pushing us to always keep mentioning how we have to stop the TPP. There are a couple of really good groups out there that have put together these webinars. And all
yep.
you got to do is type into your Google search engine, TPP webinar, and you'll come up with a couple of different videos, and it really does tell you what's coming up with these things.
It tells you what the national news doesn't tell you, and that's what
yeah.
you need to know. You need to have an informed public to make informed good decisions, and if they're not informed, they're going to make bad decisions, and they're not going to bug their congresspersons the way they should to make sure that the proper vote is taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
just like the caller said.
You notice how easily we got people, we marshaled people together over social nets to keep net neutrality. That happened
right.
fast.
Yes.
And that worked.
Yes.
We won. We won, gang.
And it can work. It can work
yes.
in so many ways. There's a lot of people I've known in the last year, gotten to know. I've watched their feeds and their comments change and see them wake up. And it's really been fascinating. I've got about 3,000 people running in my well that I can see their stuff.
And if you're for the victory we had in net neutrality, you will definitely be opposed to the TPP because that'll seek to eradicate all of those gains. And that's very soon, Gwen, I want to take an entire Sunday and just discuss the TPP. I'm going to do a lot of research this next week or two, and after that point, before February, we've got to bring this up to the people's attention.
Yeah, that would be a great idea, Jack, because people could really use listening to bullet points on what this is going to do. I don't think folks are really getting the full idea.
Oh, they're getting nothing. They're getting absolutely nothing.
This show, just this show. But, of course, if you listen to Mr. Trump this week, he'd have this show in the can, man. We'd be terrorists, honey. I mean, we're some kind of...
Well, he's a very, very low demagogue on the scale of, way down on the scale of believability and decency.
Minutes here. I got to ask both of you. I got it in my notes here. I wanted to ask you both, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow when Bill gets back in the saddle? I want to see the showdown at that OK Corral. I really do. I have to wonder if they aren't having drinks in the back room with their legs crossed, laughing like hell, and then walking out on stage and just going at it sometimes.
That makes you wonder, yeah.
But people love Clinton, and Clinton is a great wit. He is a really great wit.
We're talking a man who has an IQ that's enough for it to be a Rhodes Scholar.
That's right.
The creme de la creme as far as intelligence.
Exactly, exactly.
But he's a wit.
Yeah, he had an issue of controlling his tallywhacker.
Not every genius is a wit. He is a wit.
Yeah.
He's got it all. He's got it all.
He really is. And
he is wrong on certain aspects of the equation, but regardless, he's something to be reckoned with, and he is something to be listened to.
Bought and paid for. The Clinton Foundation, I give But here's the deal. The guy, he's just fascinating to hear, because just the minute you start your own argument on your side of the tube with him, he fires one out that just disarms the hell out of you.
He's a master at his craft.
He really is, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he deals with the bombastic idiocy of a guy like Trump. Wit is lost on someone like that. Am I right?
And you know what will be even more interesting to see is Trump's dumbfounded reaction, because that's exactly what it'll be. He won't know what hit him.
I'd be funny to stand in front of that show. I would. I would. I hope there's a lot of cameras out there going, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, folks.
We sound like dilettantes, but we really aren't, folks. It's just that when the circus, the bread and circus show is on, and you have no other choice to get what's going on out there amongst the people and the community, you're going to watch the bread and circus. There's nothing that says you can't have a bowl of popcorn while you're doing it.
Exactly right. And I want to remind everybody, too, before I forget, this is an election year, a big presidential election year, and there will be political caucuses all over the country in different states. And I want to encourage everybody to look at their own state, check, do all the detectives they have to find out when these caucuses are and these group gatherings, whether by party or not, or independent or whatever the case may be. It's very important that people really get out there and participate and understand what is involved, instead of just sitting back like an armchair person and just taking it all in and making an ill-formed decision that way. Get your feet wet. Get in the water. Check it out, you know. And
exactly.
I encourage everybody to do that. This is the year for it, and it'll be coming up very, very shortly, within the next few weeks.
Well, and I'd also like to say, you know, I really sincerely thank the caller for calling in. Are we out of time now?
We are. Enough time to let Jack sign us off with his thing.
There you go. Sign us off.
Oh, my. Well, everybody have a great week. Keep pushing forward. That's all we can do, and we can't go backward any longer. We've got to keep pushing forward. I will be back online here pretty quick with a Saturday afternoon post. You can read my past posts if you like. And thank you, everybody, for listening and for partaking. And we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
And here's to a new and great year.
Yes. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Jack. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwen Berry in South Florida. And from Ohio and Minnesota, we all bid you a good week and get out your looking glass because there's going to be something to watch soon.
No doubt.
There you go.
Thank you, Gwen. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.